I was straddling him. So what the hell is his problem? I have to know, even if I'm afraid of what his answer might be. Alex, why won't you look at me? He swallows hard, his eyelids shuddering.
I can't. You're...
hideous? I laugh quietly, a little sadly.
God, no. You're so fucking beautiful. I don't deserve to look at you.
He hesitates, and when he speaks again, his voice is thick with emotion.
I'm no good fucking trash, Silver. I'm nothing. I have no fucking business being here. I sure as hell have no right to look at you like that. I can't do it. It feels like stealing something that doesn't belong to me.
I hear the truth ringing in each one of his words. Not my truth, but his. He really believes everything he's just said, and it absolutely destroys me. I step forward, taking him by the hand, and I cautiously climb back onto his lap. Every nerve ending in my body is ringing like a bell. It'd be better if I could find something to cover up with first, but I need to perform immediate surgery on this broken man's soul. He needs to know exactly how I feel about him. Look at me, I demand. When he doesn't, I place my hands on either side of his face and I force him to. His eyes remain diligently locked on my face. You are not trash. You're not worthless. You're brilliant and you're clever, and I'm the one who's lucky to have you in my life. We come from different places, Alex, but that doesn't mean I'm better than you or that you're less than me. I want you because of the way you challenge me. I want you because of the way you make me feel alive. I want you because you make me feel free. You're better than any painkiller. You're better than any drug. You're strong and you're resilient and you take what's yours. So take me, because everything that I am is yours, given freely, gladly, and fucking proudly. His chest rises sharply. With infinite care, he rests his hands on my bare thighs, his pupils dilated wide open. He's still wound so tight, I feel like he's going to snap any second now.
I'm far from perfect. I need you, Dulcezza. My hands are fucking aching for you. If I let my guard down for one fucking second, I'm not gonna be proud of myself. If you tell me to stop, I'll stop. If you tell me no, I'll hear you and I'll fucking listen. But if you don't, I won't be able to rein myself in. I'll kiss you. I'll touch you. I'll make you fucking moan. I'll sink myself so deep inside you, I won't ever want to stop fucking you. And I can't.
My skin is on fire. My nipples are peaked so hard, they're actually hurting in the most delicious, dizzying way. The nervousness I've felt before has gone now. The memories that have taunted me for so long are nowhere to be seen. All I can think of, all I can see, all I want is Alex. I kiss him, pressing my mouth down hard on his, fisting his hair in my hands. He resists for a second. His fingers dig into my thighs, and he lets out a pained groan. The tight grip he's been holding over himself shatters into a million pieces when I yank on his hair, though. His hands slide up my back, hot and firm, pulling me to him. His tongue plunges into my mouth, and he kisses me savagely. I may be vastly inexperienced when it comes to sex, but my body thankfully knows what it wants. I grind myself into him, rocking my hips against him all over again, and I moan breathlessly as my breasts rub up against his chest. Alex tears his mouth away, and the distant, hard edge in his eyes has disappeared, replaced by a vivid, urgent hunger that sends a hot surge of adrenaline through me. He looks at me, finally letting those impossibly dark eyes of his drop, skating down my body, and it's almost too much to bear.
Jesus, Silver, he hisses. You're fucking incredible.
He cups my breasts in his hands, kneading my flesh, and a shudder travels through his body. I place my hands over his, encouraging him to squeeze harder so I can fucking feel it, so that it's almost painful, and he groans again. The sound of his pleasure makes me shake with anticipation. I shouldn't want to make him feel this way. It shouldn't feel so good to have his hands on my body. I shouldn't be so desperate for him that it feels like I'm about to ignite and catch on fire. But I do. He arches over me, leaning me back, holding me in his arms. and the next thing I'm aware of, my nipple is in his mouth. He licks at the swollen, sensitive bud of flesh, then takes it into his mouth and sucks. And it feels like I've been struck by lightning, a bolt of heady pleasure firing between both my breasts, down in between my legs. Ah, holy shit. I curve my body against him, winding my fingers into his hair, guiding his mouth down onto me, asking him for more. And Alex delivers. His teeth graze against me, fastening around my nipple. And I immediately react, rocking myself against him, needing to somehow get closer. I had no idea it would feel like this. I had no idea. I could want someone so much. I'm needy and desperate as I grab at his shirt, trying to remove it from his body. He pulls away, giving me an open-mouthed, slightly dazed smile as he helps pull the shirt over his head. His eyes are so damn intense, driving into me, scouring every inch of me as he grabs me by the waist, spinning me over, and lowering me onto my back by the fire. He stands, unfastening his belt and then his jeans, kicking out of them, removing his boxers all in one go. The air seems too thick to breathe for a second as he looks down at me, and I look up at him with matching expressions of wonder on our faces. He's the most incredible thing I've ever seen. The swirling dark ink on his chest is beautiful. It travels up over his shoulders, down his arms, around his neck. Too many patterns and images to take in right now. His athlete's physique has always been obvious, even through his clothes, but seeing him naked is something else entirely. His chest and stomach are ridiculously muscled, his abs tensed. The faint definition that cuts down into his groin, forming a V-shape, leads my eyes naturally down to his cock. He's hard, standing to attention, bigger than I've imagined the few times I've allowed myself to picture it. A swallow, a buzz of electricity pooling between my legs.
Birth control? He asks. Do I need to get something?
No, I take the pill. Alex takes himself in his hands, squeezing, and I suck my lip into my mouth again.
Don't worry, he says. It won't hurt. I'm gonna make sure of it. God, your body is.
He shakes his head like he's having trouble thinking straight.
You're perfect. In every way, Silver. Your tits are fucking mind-blowing. I can't get enough of you.
The feeling is more than mutual. He crouches down, and I tense a little, even though I'm not scared. Not really. Alex's hands run up the insides of my thighs, reverently stroking over my skin.
Remember, just say the word, and all of this stops.
I know he'll stop, too. I trust him. This is nothing like before. I loosen my limbs, consciously taking a beat to relax, and he growls at the back of his throat when my legs part.
Fuck, Silver. Your pussy looks so fucking good. Do you know how wet you are? I can fucking see how turned on you are.
It's a little embarrassing to think that it's that obvious, but I shy away from that feeling. I want him to know, after all. I want him to know what he's doing to me. I don't want him to doubt. He drops down onto his elbows, his chest resting against my leg, and a dizzying wave of pleasure soars through me as he uses his tongue. Shit. Oh my God. I rest my hands on his head, not sure what to do with myself, as he laves against me, his tongue finding my clit and flicking against me. It feels... I have nothing to compare this to. I've seen guys go down on women before. I've been curious. I've looked up all kinds of things on the internet, but nothing has prepared me for how good this feels. Alex hums against me, and the vibrations travel through my body.
So damn sweet, he pants. My dolcezza. I've kept myself up at night, imagining what you taste like, Silver Parisi. You're fucking delicious. I'm gonna want to eat your cunt for the rest of time.
That word, cunt, sends all kinds of thoughts skittering around in my head. It's such a harsh word, so derogatory. But when Alex says it, using it like this, with his face buried between my legs, it turns me on so much I can hardly stand it. I angle my hips, opening myself to him, and he snarls fiercely against the inside of my thigh.
That's right. Good girl. Let me have you. Let me make you come. Flood my mouth, dolcezza.
Oh my God. He licks and sucks, using the flat of his tongue to sweep up and over my clit, and before too long, I'm shaking underneath him. When he carefully uses his fingers to rub against the opening of my pussy, I can do nothing but hold my breath and wait. Slowly, so gently, he pushes his fingers inside me, and my spine arches away from the floor. Ah, damn it, Alex. This isn't frightening. Far from it. It's the most intense, pleasurable thing I've ever experienced. He moves very deliberately, the muscles in his shoulders tight, as he waits to see how I react. I want more. I rock my hips, grinding them upward, and it's all the cue Alex needs. He teases me with his tongue faster, more insistently, using his fingers inside me to beckon and coax, pumping them rhythmically, and my eyes roll back into my head as a shockwave so overwhelming crashes into my body. Alex, Alex, I pant his name. It's a mantra on my tongue, a prayer, a curse. Before I know it, a bewildering, chaotic energy is building between my legs, inside me, reaching up into my stomach and my torso, spreading along my arms. The feeling swells, so powerful and formidable, and just when I think it can't swell any further, it slams into me, rocking me to my core. White, blinding light flaring behind my eyes. I claw at his back, trying to grasp out his name and failing. Ah, oh, shit, Al. Oh my God, oh shit, shit, shit! The orgasm leaves me ruined, lifeless and limp. I'm still fluttering my eyes, trying to remember how to see straight, when Alex climbs up my body and kisses me deeply. A little mortified, I realize that I can taste myself on his lips. Alex grins like a fiend when he pulls back. His grin turns into a frown, though, when I brush my fingers over his mouth, trying to clean myself from him.
Don't you fucking dare, Parisi, he growls. I plan on savoring every last bit of you.
I try to hide my face in his chest, smiling awkwardly, but he doesn't let me.
Don't you have any idea how much that turns me on?
He takes my hand and slides it in between our bodies. My palm is closed around his hard-on a second later, and he's squeezing. I gasp at the feel of him, the firm, yet silken smooth texture of his skin as he guides my hand slowly up and down his shaft. His eyes are burning, filled with his desire, as he repeats the action one last time, then tries to take my hand away. This time I won't let him, though. I tighten my grip around him, free of his guidance, mimicking the up and down motion. His cock pulses, hardening even further in my hand, and his body locks up, going stiff.
You don't need to do that, he whispers. This should be about you.
It is about me, I whisper back. The way you're looking at me right now? God, I want to feel you like this inside me, Alex. Please, I'm ready.
Doubt flits across his face. The vines barbed with thorns around the base of his throat shift as he swallows.
You're sure?
His lips form the words, but I barely hear him say them. I make sure he can hear me perfectly, though. Yes, I am 100% sure. I want you. I want all of you. Now.
It's like watching a tide break against a shore. His indecision and uncertainty vanish, and a deep, hungry need takes its place in an instant. Shifting between my legs, he positions himself, leaning over me on his elbows, keeping his weight from my chest. His hands are sure as he cradles my face between his palms, and he pushes himself slowly inside me. I freeze, going absolutely still. Alex's eyes search my face frantically, looking for some sign that I'm not okay. It doesn't hurt, though. I just feel full in a strange way, a pressure inside me that takes a moment to adjust to.
Silver.
I wind my arms around him, forcing him down onto me, deeper inside me. I was serious just now. I want all of him. I want his weight on me. I want his arms around me. I want to be swallowed up by him, into his strength, because right now, I feel so fucking safe. He sighs,
the sound rough and uncontrolled, and I can't take it anymore. I roll my hips against him, angling myself upward, and Alex bares his teeth, gritting them together.
Fuck, Silver. His eyes are unfocused. You feel so fucking good, he grinds out.
Carefully, he begins to rock against me, and the strange pressure inside me starts to lessen as my body learns how to move with him. Alex presses his lips against my forehead, my temple, my jaw. When he eventually uses his teeth against the sensitive skin of my neck, the feel of him inside me begins to change into something else entirely. The pressure evaporates altogether, and it begins to feel good. Oh, fuck. Alex. He bites down harder, and I tangle my arms around him, wrapping my legs around his waist tighter, clinging onto him as fiercely as I can.
You ready for more? He growls into my hair.
Yes. Yes. God, yes. I don't sound like myself. I sound like someone else as I writhe underneath him. Alex gives me what I want, pulling back just enough so that he can angle his hips back and thrust them forward, driving himself into me. Oh, God. What the hell? I let my eyes roll closed for a second, but they snap open again when the feeling intensifies, and I realize Alex is touching my clit. Looking down the length of my body, I see his hand is between my legs, and he's using his thumb to rub at me. I shudder, not knowing how the hell to process the sheer volume of sensation.
Good, Alex asks raggedly.
Yes.
Good.
He quickens his pace, sliding all the way out of me this time and pushing forward a little harder. His eyes are all over me, my face, my breasts, my stomach, my thighs. His gaze pauses on the point where our bodies meet, between my legs, and the muscles in his jaw pop as he clenches his teeth.
Fuck, watching you take me, Silver. You rocking against me. Your pussy.
Lust, raw and demanding, digs its claws into me. I see a mirror of that emotion in Alex, and the look on his face sends me spiraling toward madness. I need him. I have to fucking have him. I grab hold of his other hand, sucking his thumb into my mouth, and Alex hisses.
Shit. Careful, Dulcezza.
I know why he's warning me. His movements are quickening. He's thrusting harder and faster, and I know what'll happen soon if we don't stop. There are plenty of days ahead to tease ourselves, though. Plenty of opportunity to stretch this out and make it last. Right now, the fire burning in my belly is raging out of control, and I don't want to put it out. The intense feeling that shook me so violently when Alex went down on me has returned, and I'm about to tumble over the edge all over again. I want him to tumble with me. I want to know what that feels like. I lock my legs around his hips, biting down on his thumb, and I witness the moment Alex gives himself over to it. His eyes flash, and then he's falling on top of me, crushing me to him, driving himself deeper and deeper, faster and faster. Shit, I'm gonna fucking...
Come, fucking come, Silver,
he snarls into my ear.
Do it right now. I want to feel you throbbing around my dick.
All it takes is his command. I hurtle headfirst into my climax, unable to breathe, unable to make a sound as an explosion of pleasure hits me with the force of a 10-ton truck. My back bows, and Alex holds onto me as I ride out the wave. Then he's roaring, the muscles in his arms straining, and he's coming too, crushing the life out of me as we move against one another. It seems as though it takes a long time to come down from the high. Eventually, though, when we can breathe again, Alex rolls onto his side, and then onto his back, pulling me with him. I lie on his chest, listening to his heartbeat gradually slow, and the feeling of his hand as he lazily strokes my hair is almost hypnotic. Is this the part where you pretend you're late for something, make your excuses, and you leave? I whisper. Alex huffs out a shallow, soft burst of laughter.
No, Dulcezza. This is the part when I realize you've stolen my fucking soul, and I have no chance of ever getting it back.
I laugh too. So, not leaving then?
Nope.
I trace my fingers over his chest, following the lines of his tattoos, enjoying the warmth of the fire on my own skin. His torso is covered in ink, a large, shield-like design spanning across his pecs, following the line of his collarbone, sweeping down over his side, the top of his shoulder, and down his left arm. A long, scaled body of a creature winds, convincing and lifelike. Sharp, thorny vines wind intricately from his right arm, around his neck, down across his stomach, weaving in between what looks like a woman on her knees, praying.
"I promised you the Nicol Tour, didn't I?" he asks softly. "I suppose now's as good a time as any. Come on."
I don't want to get up. This moment is far too perfect, but Alex seems intent as he gets up, holding out his hand to help me to my feet. By the window, he displays his hands palm down, showing me the wolf and the rose inked there.
"This is me," he says, indicating to the wolf. "And this is my mom. All of the roses are for her."
He's given her his right hand, as well as his entire right arm.
"She was soft, like flowers. Beautiful."
He runs his own fingers over the vines, his eyes distant.
"She had her sharp edges too, though. Her own demons that plagued her."
It looks like the vines that represent those demons are wrapped around Alex's throat, as if they could press in and strangle the life out of him at any moment. Is that why? I can't bring myself to ask if that's why she killed herself. Alex seems to understand my half question, though. He nods.
"She had these manic episodes. They last for days. She'd have so much energy, running around the house, cooking, singing, cleaning. She'd take us on these crazy adventures, walking miles and miles with us through the rain and the snow. She'd take us into Walmart and ask me to look after Ben while she got something. Then she'd forget she'd even brought us there and leave. The grocery store, an auto shop once. She was always forgetting us places. She'd feel so bad afterward that she'd sink into these black moods, smashing shit, tearing the apartment up, screaming at the top of her lungs. Once that part was over, she'd get into bed, and she wouldn't get out for days. She was never diagnosed, as far as I can tell, but I'm pretty sure she was bipolar. I read when I was a kid that it's genetic, that 60 to 80% of cases are hereditary. I used to scare myself shitless, wondering if I was going to turn out like her, but..." He arches one eyebrow. "I can't even be sure that's what she had. And I've never displayed any of the same behaviors she did. And I've been keeping an eye out for them, believe me."
He shrugs, moving on, pointing out the tattoo of a Spartan, shield and drawn swords on his other arm.
"This is pretty self-explanatory. My Roman roots."
He plants a hand against his chest.
"This too. It's the Moretti family crest. My own interpretation, I guess. I added the skulls and the engine parts."
I see the mechanical-looking elements now as I look closer. The skulls, too, laughing and macabre. Different flowers bloom from the gaps in between, and red and blue and green. The only splashes of color in the otherwise black designs.
"Cobweb on my elbow," he says, lifting his arm, frowning a little ruefully. "Got that in juvie. Kinda wish I hadn't. And this," he says, stroking a finger across the scaled tail of the creature that's wrapped around his body, "is the Lord of the North Wind, Bahamut."
Unusual name.
"From Arabic mythology. Misappropriated, but who gives a fuck? He's a bannerman for the weak and downtrodden. A safe refuge. Also, takes no shit," he says, grinning. "He's pretty badass, but he metes out justice if you fuck up."
"Where's the rest of him?" Alex's quirked eyebrow rises even higher as he turns around. There, the front half of a beautiful, somber-looking dragon has been tattooed between his shoulder blades, elaborate, with swirls and curlicues, yet incredibly masculine. Above the dragon, in darker, older ink, is the word fearless.
"You really are, aren't you? Fearless," I say.
Alex turns, bowing his head forward, letting his chin drop to his chest. He sighs, wrapping his arms around me. Leaning my forehead against him, we stand like that for a long time before Alex whispers gently into the dark.
"Not nearly as fearless as you. Take me to bed, Argento. I want to hold you."
22. Alex. "He's fucked in the head just like his mother was, little prick. If I don't curb that shit now, he's gonna end up hurting someone one of these days. Just you wait and see. Yeah, don't worry. If the belt doesn't work, then my fist sure as fuck will. I jolt awake, disoriented. A second ago, I was crying in a closet, listening to Gary tell his brother what a worthless, vile little cretin I am. Now I'm cocooned in a blissfully soft bed, staring into the face of the most beautiful fucking girl I've ever seen. Silver's still sleeping. Her hair is loose, fanned out around her face, golden and warm in the early morning light. Her lips are slightly parted. Her eyelashes are so long that they're resting on the top of her cheekbones. From the serene look on her face, the dreams fluttering through her subconscious are nothing like mine were. And for that, I am glad. I never told her, but I vowed to myself about 3 seconds after I met Silver that I was going to make Jake and anyone else who had a hand in hurting her pay. I've already plotted a few unique and interesting ways to make that happen, even with the promises I made to Silver tying my hands. But none of that matters if I can't protect her from the monsters if they visit her when she closes her eyes to sleep. I can't keep her safe in there, and that makes me sick to my fucking stomach. She stirs, nestling down into the covers. Her eyes stay closed, but I know that she's woken up.
You know how to work the Keurig, Alessandro Moretti? Or are you more for decoration?
She mumbles. I smile. Really smile. Maybe it's easier because she can't see me with her eyes closed, but it feels natural, a normal thing to do, and not like some breach in my defenses. Yes, I whisper, leaning in to kiss her on the forehead. I know how to operate a Keurig. I'll be right back. She moans, reaching after me, grabbing for my hand as I climb out of bed. I laugh under my breath all the way down the stairs and into the kitchen. Without the fire burning in the living room, it's fucking freezing in the cabin. Should have put some clothes on before I came down, but fuck it. As soon as I have some caffeine for Silver, I'm fully planning on getting back into bed and staying there with her for the rest of the morning. I already got my shifts covered at the Rock, so I don't have anywhere else to be. The pods for the coffee maker take some tracking down. After rummaging through every cupboard and drawer I can think of, I eventually locate them in the freezer of all places. I fill up the water reserve on the machine and stand, hands braced against the kitchen counter, as the thin stream of black gold begins to pour into the mug. It's only halfway done when I hear the rumble of an engine approaching the cabin. Instantly alert, instantly aware that I'm half fucking naked, I peer out of the kitchen window, straining to see who'd be coming up here at this hour in the morning. I don't need to wait long. A silver van breaks through the tree line, careening toward the cabin, and a sinking feeling hits me square in the gut. Shit. I recognize the van. I last saw it parked in the Parisi's driveway as I pulled away from their house. It's the vehicle Silver was driving when she took her brother to soccer practice. Silver! I yell. A woman scrambles out of the van. Her hair's the same color as Silver's, and her features bear a marked resemblance, too. She's young, younger than I expected, but she's obviously Silver's mom. I'm about to bolt out of the kitchen and up the stairs in search of my clothes, already trying to figure out how I'm going to explain why the fuck I'm here, alone with her daughter, and why the hell I thought I'd get away with defiling her when I watched the woman go down. She collapses into the mud, sinking to her knees, then landing on her ass. And she's fucking crying. Fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I'm out of the door and running towards her before I can assess the situation or decide if it's even a smart thing to do. The woman looks up, but I can tell she doesn't really see me. A loud, harrowing sob echoes through the trees. Her face is a rictus of pain. Mrs. Parisi? Shit, Mrs. Parisi, are you okay? Are you hurt? I pat down her shoulders and arms, trying to see if she's injured or something, but she jerks away from me, tucking herself into a ball. Shit, I'm at a loss. I do the only thing I can think of and scoop her into my arms, picking her up out of the mud. She doesn't even question the fact that a strange, half-naked guy is carrying her inside her own cabin. She wraps her arms around my neck and clings to me as I take her up the steps, kicking open the door that almost closed behind me when I rushed outside. Silver! In the living room, I gently lay the woman down on the sofa, and she curls up into a ball again, sobbing in a gut-wrenching, horrible way that makes me want to rip my own ears off.
Mama, why are you crying? It's all right. Everything's going to be okay. Mama, Mama!
Footsteps thunder down the stairs. Silver arrives in a whirlwind panic, her hair all over the place, wearing nothing but a vest and a tiny pair of shorts. We pose a pretty fucking damning picture, but it doesn't look like her mom's paying any attention. Her eyes are screwed tightly shut, her mouth drawn down in a mask of misery. Silver shoots me a bewildered, scared look, and I just stand there, numb, not knowing what the fuck to say. She rushes to her mom, dropping to her knees with a loud thud, eyes still on me.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. She was doing 70 when she pulled up. When she got out, she was like this.
Fuck, Mom. Mom, what's going on?
Silver tries to take the woman's hands in hers, but she's too hysterical to allow it.
She's gone,
she pants.
She's fucking gone. She's dead, Silver. She's fucking dead.
A brief flash of confusion pulls at Silver's features. Then her mom's statement must make sense all of a sudden because I watch as realization dawns on her.
Gail? Gail died? Yes.
Her mom sounds like she's dying when she pushes the word out.
It's my fault. No.
Silver shakes her head, running her hands over her mom's hair, trying to soothe her.
No, Mom, it's not your fault. How can it be your fault? She was angry with me,
she keens. I was chasing after her. I needed to explain. I just needed to make her stop, but... She chokes, barely even gives herself time to recover before she continues.
She drove straight out, straight into the intersection. She didn't even look. Mom, Mom, it's okay. You're not making any sense. Tell me what happened.
She saw me, Silver. She saw me with Dan in his office. She wouldn't wait for me to get dressed. She just left, and I went after her. It is my fault. I killed her.
23. Silver. Mom has been acting weird. Mom has been crying in the shower. Mom's been having an affair with her boss. This is the reason why she's bailed every time Dr. Coombs came to drop the boys off for their lesson. This is the reason why she hasn't been to visit her best fucking friend in the hospital. She's been riddled with guilt. It's been eating her alive. And now Gail is dead. Alex wanted to take us back into town, but I told him I would drive the van back. He mentioned something about coming back up here later with a friend to get my car. I vaguely remember giving him the keys to the Nova. More vividly, I remember him holding me, hugging me, whispering into my hair. But after that, everything's kind of a blur. I'm numb down to my bones as I make the journey home, Mom still crying in the passenger seat. I don't even know how I made it most of the way. I'm on autopilot, shifting, stopping at lights, taking turns without really paying attention to what I'm doing. When I pull into the driveway and kill the engine, we both just sit there, neither of us moving, staring dumbly out of the window at the garage door.
Why? I ask. Why did you come up to the cabin?
She has calmed down a bit now, enough so she can talk at least.
I don't know. I knew you were there, and I just wanted to get away, and it just happened.
Does Dad know? She blinks, shifting in the seat. Her pajama pants are destroyed, and there's mud all over the passenger door.
About Dan?
No, she says quietly. I haven't told him yet. Great. A fucking bomb's about to go off in our house, and there will be nothing left of our happiness but a smoking crater and the remnants of my father's happiness. I can't stitch my thoughts together. Nothing's making sense inside my head. I just sit there, hands still on the steering wheel, staring into space. I feel like I'm going to puke as an option presents itself to me, an option I do not like one little bit. I take a deep breath, swallowing down my own self-loathing as I say,
You're not going to.
What? Mom whispers.
You're not going to fucking tell him, Mom, I snap. You were selfish. You did something really fucking stupid, but you didn't kill Gail. It was an accident.
I have to tell him, sweetheart. It wouldn't be fair.
Do not talk to me about fair, I yell. If you wanted fair, you shouldn't have cheated on Dad. If you wanted fair, you shouldn't have started with the lies in the first place. Now, to be fair to the rest of this family, you're gonna have to be a fucking adult. Stop being so goddamn selfish, and you're gonna keep your mouth shut. Silver, you get to be sad. You get to be broken up because your friend died. You do not get to tear the rest of us apart just so you can punish yourself and make yourself feel like you got what you deserved. I did something bad, Silver. I can't just walk around pretending it didn't happen. It wouldn't be right. Shut up, Mom. Just shut the fuck up, okay? Enough damage has already been done. I swear to God, if you hurt Dad and Max like this, I will never forgive you. I mean it. I will never speak to you again. I get out of the car, vibrating with rage, slamming the door behind me. Mom's hot on my heels. Hey, get back here, young lady. I know I fucked up, but I am still your mother, okay? I am still the adult. I turn on her, stabbing my finger into her chest. I hate that I'm crying. No, Mom, don't you see? You haven't been the adult in this relationship for a really long time. While you've been staying at work late, fucking your boss, I've been doing the cooking. I've been doing the cleaning. I've been making sure the laundry's done and your 11-year-old son is fed and clothed. I'm the one making sure everything doesn't fall apart. And guess what, Mom? My shit has been falling apart. My shit has not been okay. And then you show up at the cabin, running to me for comfort, for me to fix this fucking mess, because you know that I will. She just stands there. It feels as though she's looking right through me. I can't believe I've just said all of that to her, but it needed fucking saying. Stiffly, Mom turns to face the house. And without another word, she walks inside. Dad comes home from work, and I hear him consoling Mom. The walls of the house ring with the sound of her crying, but she doesn't tell him what she's done. Max is still over at Halliday's house for a sleepover with her brother Jamie, thank God, so at least he doesn't need to know just how dark things have gotten in the Parisi household. Alex texts me close to midnight. Alex, wanted to give you some space, but now I really need to know if you're all right. Me, not really. Alex, bad, huh? What can I do? Me, rescue me, kidnap me, whisk me away. Alex, don't joke. I'll do it. If only he could, I'd jump into a car with him and drive off into the sunset in a hot minute if I didn't think everything would fall apart the moment I left. My hands hover over the keyboard on my cell screen while I think of what to type back. Me, what's your email address? I'm going to write you. Alex, a breakup letter on day 2 of our relationship. Shit, that's a record. Me. Nothing like that. We have a relationship? Alex. Yes. Alex. You're mine. I'm yours, remember? Hate to break it to you, but you've achieved GF status. I've already alerted the media. Email is ampasaroto@gmail.com.
Girlfriend status? I try not to grin from ear to ear, but it's a futile task. I decide to play it cool and not mention how giddy and stupid he just made me. Me. Passaroto? Alex.
Another time.
Me. I won't forget.
Alex. I don't want you to.
I planned on putting off writing my account of what had happened at Leon's for as long as I possibly could, but that feels so wrong now. I just forced my own mother into keeping a terrible secret, and I'm beginning to feel like a bit of a monster. I have to tell someone some kind of truth, otherwise I'm never going to be able to look at myself in the mirror again. I was going to write down what happened with pen and paper, but there's so much emotion involved here. I don't trust myself to be able to write legibly once I get to the difficult parts. Starting the email is hard. Fuck, all of it is hard. It takes me 2 hours to put it all down into words, and by the end, I'm shaking so hard I think I'm going to pass out. No, I'm not going to pass out. I'm going to throw up. I nearly don't make it to the bathroom in time. As I hug the toilet, cold sweat running down my back, my stomach churning over on itself, throat raw, the taste of vomit in my mouth, I panic. I've got to delete it. I can't send any of that to Alex. It's too much. It's all just way, way, way too much. Making my way back to my desk, my legs feel like they're going to collapse from underneath me.
My laptop screen is still displaying the page's long email as if it's just another school project or something I've been working on. The words snag, catching at me like barbs, and I'm so damn tired all of a sudden. My life shouldn't be like this. I shouldn't have to deal with any of this shit. Not on my own, anyway. Before I can change my mind, I hit the blue button at the bottom of the email's draft screen, and my laptop chimes, signaling that the message has been sent. Too late to take it back now. 24. Silver. The night of the party. Stop being such a little bitch, Silver. Chug the damn drink. I roll my eyes at Casey, holding the cup to my mouth. She's already four drinks ahead of me. I have some serious catching up to do, but chugging foamy beer isn't how I'd like to accomplish that. Hey, Leon, doesn't your dad have any vodka lying around? This stuff tastes like piss, I call out. Casey's boyfriend, Leon, holds up his hands, laughing at me from across the other side of the room.
Sorry, Sil. Blame Jake and Sam. They cleared out the good stuff before you got here. It's what you get for showing up late.
Casey bumps me with her hip, making a disgusted sound at the back of her throat. Fucking animals. You should have seen him when he rolled up here in his dad's Maserati. You'd think he was God's gift to mankind or something. Who, Jake? Of course, Jake. Who else has an ego the size of the state of Texas? And who else would show up to a party wearing a fucking MVP medal? Doesn't he know the season ended 2 months ago? The guy in question is standing by the beer pong table, laughing and carousing with Sam Hawthorne and Killian Dupris. Sure enough, the most valuable player medal Coach Quentin awarded him at the end of the football season is hanging around his neck, resting on top of his perfectly tailored Armani blue button-down shirt. He glances my way, his smile broadening when we make eye contact, and my nerves jangle like a set of wind chimes. Yeah, Jake loves Jake like Kanye loves Kanye. He is cute, though. Planting her hands on top of the table, leaning toward me, Casey dons her "do not mess with me" face. Listen, bitch, if you don't pound that beer, I'm going to walk over there and tell him just how wet he makes your pussy. And then I'm going to tell him that you're still a virgin and you've been saving yourself for him since fifth grade. I glare at her, the skin behind my ears and down the back of my neck beginning to prickle. You wouldn't dare. Casey pouts, running her hand over her long, dark hair. It's knife edge straight and shining like she conditioned it seven times before she came out tonight. As always, she looks incredible in a little black dress that hugs her curves in all the right places and accentuates them in others. There's a reason why she's the most lusted after girl at Raleigh. Try me, she says airily. I know that look on her face. I've seen it countless times before, usually before she decides to pull the trigger on a particularly cruel plan designed to embarrass or humiliate one of Raleigh's lesser, mere mortal students. Hastily, I tip back the cup of beer, and I chug. My throat's stinging from the cold, carbonated liquid when I slam the cup down on the table, gasping for breath. A cheer goes up around me, and Zen appears at my side, winding her arm around my waist. Her hair is braided back into cornrows, bleached blonde with pink tips. Her bubblegum pink dress is almost as revealing as Casey's. Nicely done, Parisi, she says, planting a kiss on my cheek. What took you so long? We've been waiting for you. Casey answers the question before I can. Guitar lesson. She says the words with the same level of disgust she might say, Forever 21 discount rack. Casey's of the firm belief that an item of clothing isn't worth shit if it isn't worth over $400. I don't get why you don't just quit doing that, silly. Your parents give you an allowance, right? Yeah, but I like teaching. We've been through this 1,000 times. It would suit Casey down to the ground if I didn't have to teach my lessons every night of the week. That way, I'd be able to go over to her place after school and we could hang out, ruthlessly criticizing the cast of The Bold and the Beautiful. Whatever, you're ruining your hands. They look like you do manual labor for a living. They're calluses, Casey. I can't play without them. She groans. Zen takes my hand and turns it over, inspecting said calluses. They feel worse, she adds disapprovingly. Exactly. And how do you think Jacob Weaving's gonna feel about them when you wrap that grubby little mitt around his cock and you sand his foreskin off? I've heard he's uncut. She waggles her eyebrows, using her fingers to mimic snipping a pair of scissors. Zen explodes into a fit of scandalized giggles while I look for the nearest deep hole to go bury myself in. You can stop now. I don't care about Jacob Weaving. I don't care what he thinks of my calluses, and I'm certainly not going to be wrapping my hand around his cock anytime soon.
That's a shame, a voice says behind Casey.
The three of us whip around, and the chicken Alfredo I ate for dinner suddenly tries to make a reappearance, rising up in my throat. Jacob, standing 2 feet away, holding a glass filled with burned amber liquid, arching a blonde, perfect eyebrow in my direction. The amused twist of his mouth says it all.
I've been meaning to talk to you, Parisi, he says.
His head tips back, and he studies me down the bridge of his nose in an appraising fashion that makes me blush down to the roots of my hair. Dear Lord, please help me now. Do not let me trip over my own treacherous tongue. I swallow thickly. Why? What about? Casey tries to hide her smile in the veil of her hair. God, Silver, how have you managed to make it this far without a scrap of game? She makes a show of trying to whisper the words, but she makes sure Jacob can hear her.
I like that about her, he says, smirking.
With a practiced move, he throws back the contents of his glass, savoring it in his mouth, eyes roving over my face. He swallows, and I find I can't tear my eyes away from the muscles in his throat as they work.
Not everyone can be like you, Winters, well-practiced and well-broken in. Sometimes it's refreshing to contend with someone a little more innocent.
Casey doesn't like that. Not one bit.
Yes, well, I'm sure you wouldn't be saying that when she blows instead of sucks. A flush of shame rockets up my spine. Even Zen's mouth drops open.
KK!
Casey slides her arm through mine, petting my hair. I love my friend to the ends of the earth, but occasionally I also want to punch her in the throat.
Oh, come on. She knows I'm teasing, don't you, silly Sill?
No one's stupid enough to make that mistake. You people have no sense of humor. Jacob's eyes drive into the side of Casey's head, boring into her, gray and unimpressed.
With friends like you, KK, he says, his voice full of mockery. Who needs enemies? Silver? I was gonna head out to the pool for a second. Get some air. You wanna join me?
Oh, shit. I look to Zen, and then Casey, my jaw practically on the floor. Sure.
Actually, we were just about to pay a visit to the little girl's room, Casey says sweetly. You know how us women can only go in packs of three? We'll be back soon, though, Mr. MVP. I'm sure you can spin Silver one of your cheesy pickup lines then.
She already has me by the arm. She's pulling me away, stalking toward the stairs in her skyscraper patent pumps before I can even blink. We're halfway up to the first floor by the time I'm about to make my mouth form words.
Casey, what the hell?
She looks back at me over her shoulder, her eyes glinting wickedly.
What? You literally just said, I don't care about Jacob Weaving. I thought I was doing you a favor.
You're such a cow, Casey. You know she wants him bad, Zen titters. There's a line for the restroom, but Casey breezes right past, dragging me along behind her. Perfectly timed, the door opens just as we arrive in front of it, and Casey shoots an icy glare at the guy standing next in line. Gareth Foster. Chess team. Dork.
You don't mind, do you? She purrs.
Casey's probably never made eye contact with Gareth before in her life. He looks like he just soiled himself.
No, of course not. Go right ahead.
We're already inside the bathroom. She's already slamming the door closed. She dumps her tiny purse on the counter, opening it and rooting inside.
Look, Silver, I'm not saying I think Jacob's a jackass, but he is.
You know that, right? He definitely is a jackass.
God, she's so melodramatic. I use the toe of my shoe to knock the toilet lid down, then I lay a towel over it and sit down.
The dress I'm wearing, one of Casey's, she insisted, is a little too tight. I have to sit ramrod straight to avoid the fabric cutting the circulation off to my legs. He's arrogant, sure, I say, but I don't know about anything else. I heard his mom paid for Jessica Birch's plastic surgery after she was in that fire last year. The mother's philanthropic gestures have no bearing on the son, Casey says chidingly. Jake probably wouldn't have pissed on Jessica if he'd been standing outside that boat shed and she'd come running out aflame. Where's Halliday and Melody? She adds this last part as if she's only just noticed that they're missing. With Guy and Davis, Zen supplies. The way she hands over the information suggests our friends are up to no good. God! Casey hurls the lipstick she just pulled out of her purse back inside, frowning as she searches for something else. How do they know who they're even fucking? She mumbles. Guy and Davis are twins. Identical twins. They've been dating Halliday and Melody for the past 6 months, and according to the girls, the twins do like to assume each other's identities. I don't think it matters this time, Zen laughs. All four of them are in Leon's father's room, and from what I saw, they weren't being overly picky about who was tangled up with who. Casey looks up, her head rocking to one side as she processes this. Huh, that actually sounds like it could be fun. Bummer Leon's an only child. There's always Mr. Wickman, I offer. Silver! Casey feigns surprise. How scandalous. Mr. Wickman does have a certain sex appeal. There's nothing more attractive than a man who's gone after his goals and amassed a great deal of power and money in his lifetime. But no, Leon's too much of a prude to ever consider it. I was only joking. I didn't think she'd take the suggestion seriously, but I shouldn't be all that surprised. Casey's sexual deviant tendencies run deep. She finally finds what she's looking for in her bag and holds the small black compact up triumphantly. Hallelujah! Now we can finally start to enjoy this party. She flips the compact open, and instead of blusher, inside is a large amount of coke. She pulls a razor blade from the back of her phone case and serves up a large amount of the powder onto the compact's mirror, cutting it into a line. Zen goes first. She holds the back of her hand to her nose after she snorts, eyes closed, head tipped back, a slow smile spreading across her face. Hot damn. Your stuff is always the best, KK. My body's a temple. I wouldn't go putting any old trash inside it. Here, Silver. She holds out the compact to me, a line ready and waiting. I was 14 when Casey gave me my first taste of coke. It had been a dare back then, but over the past 3 years, it's become more of a habit. For Casey, at least. I only use it with her at parties. I'm pretty sure Case is powdering her nose at least 2 or 3 times a day. I don't talk to her about it. The 2 times I've suggested that she might want to save her stash for more recreational purposes, she flipped out so violently, I thought she was going to have a fucking nervous breakdown. I'm tired. I don't really feel like getting crazy tonight, but Zen's kind of fucked me. I can't decline the drugs because she did her line without complaint. If I refuse, they're both going to be on me, harassing me, giving me a hard time. I've learned that it's much easier to just do one line and then claim to have a headache and then refuse altogether. I hold the compact mirror to my nose, blocking off my nostril, and I inhale sharply. My sinuses are instantly both numb and burning with a dizzying wave of pleasure that spreads through my head, down into my body, down into my arms and legs. For a moment, my body is made of pure light. I'm floating up toward the ceiling. My skin's tingling, alive with sensation. Casey strokes the side of my face, humming under her breath. Pretty, pretty Parisi. She takes the compact from me, cuts herself a line, and soon all 3 of us are flying high. She then takes the razor blade in hand, the metal gleaming wickedly under the bathroom lights, lays the sharpened metal against her tongue, and licks off the powder residue. I giggle at the sight of the blade resting on her tongue. I can't decide which of them is sharper. Truth is, I don't think you can handle Jake, Silver, she says coolly. You need easing into this shit. Fucking Jake would be tantamount to getting thrown into the deep. Better if you fooled around with someone a little less high stakes first. Get yourself some training wheels. Careful, Casey. You're beginning to sound like you might be a little jealous, Zen says, winking at Casey's reflection in the mirror. Don't be ridiculous, Why the hell would I be jealous of a potential tryst between Silver and Jacob when I have Leon? Her voice is tight, though. The protest on her lips sounds disingenuous, to say the least. Holy fuck. How can I not have noticed until now? It hits me through the drugged haze of my brain that Casey is jealous. Jealous that a popular guy at school is pursuing me and not her. I'm consumed by the music. I'm covered in sweat and my heart's racing. But this, right now, is officially the most amazing moment of my life. I've never had this much fun before. Never. My body moves in time to the thumping track that's playing through Leon's father's top-of-the-line speaker system, and every time my skin brushes up against someone else's body, I find myself laughing at the sheer delight of the contact. Everyone's dancing, grinding, raging along to the bass line and the beat. Casey and Leon are practically fucking on the makeshift dance floor. She's pressing herself up against him, his face locked in between her hands as she licks at his mouth. Zen's nowhere to be found, but Halliday bounces on the balls of her feet, grinning from ear to ear as the music begins to rise into a heady, maddening crescendo. I love that about Halliday, that she dances without caring what she looks like. She just has fun. I grab hold of her, grinning from ear to ear. Oh my God, this party is amazing, she gasps. Just as the beat quickens, the bass line drops, and the crowd erupts into screaming cheers. Halliday didn't partake in any of Casey's coke, but her pupils are so blown, her entire eye is almost black, and she's chugging water like she can't slake her thirst. So I know she's on something. MDMA, probably, given the way she keeps hugging me and telling me how much she loves me. When we graduate next year, we need to move down to LA. We can get a place together and become actresses, make shitloads of money, only sleep with fitness models. My cousin Sarah, you know the one who got the boob job? She's been down there for 3 years now. She says it's basically one constant party. She sees famous people all the time. Doesn't that sound like fun? I wrap my arms around her neck, squealing. Yes, we have to. Let's do it. I haven't had a tan since second grade. When I pull back, Halliday's blushing. She looks at me meaningfully, her eyes wide, brows rising. Incoming, Silver. What? Incoming. Hi, Jake. Wow, I really like your shirt. The blue really brings out your eyes. I can feel the fine hair at the back of my neck sticking to my skin. I must look terrible, so flushed and red from dancing. But when I turn around to face Jake, his eyes roam over me like I'm the most beautiful thing he's ever seen.
Thanks. Hey, you mind if I steal Silver for a moment, Hal? I just created this cool cocktail, and I wanted to show it to her.
Halliday nods a little too enthusiastically. Take her. I've got a fine guy anyway. Have you seen him?
Out by the pool, he says.
God, his voice is so amazing. If football doesn't work out for him, he could always do voiceover. My pulse is already racing, but it quickens even further as Jake offers me his hand.
Are you a gin girl or a vodka girl, Miss Parisi?
He smiles, and it's as if the world stops turning. Vodka? I take his hand, allowing him to lead me off the dance floor, and I already know this is going to be great. I've been waiting for Jake to notice me for the past 2 years. He was dating Olivia Jenkins, Casey's mortal enemy, and therefore my mortal enemy for years. When she moved away at the end of last semester, he told everyone he was going to stay single and focus all his attention on playing football. But now, here he is, holding my hand, smiling confidently as he walks with me through the party. It's quieter in the kitchen. There are a group of guys playing some sort of drinking game with a pack of cards. Sam Hawthorne's leaning against the counter by the sink, tapping something into his phone. His long hair is tied back into a knot at the back of his head. He grins when he looks up and sees us.
Ah, a pretty flower. Such a dog weaving. You planning on plucking this one?
Shut the fuck up, Sam. Be polite. Silver's not like that. Are you, Sil?
I'm not sure what I'm like, but I'm irritated by the smug, suggestive look on Sam's face. I've never liked him. There's something off about him. Like a bad smell, he's a constant presence in the hallways of Raleigh High. Wherever Jacob goes, Sam follows. I bare my teeth in an approximation of a smile. My head's still so clouded from the coke, and it feels like there's an electric current buzzing pleasantly beneath the surface of my skin, though. So I decide not to let Sam's very obviously sexual comment bother me. I'm just looking forward to this cocktail, I say.
That's my girl.
Jacob's hand presses into the small of my back, and it takes everything I've got not to burst into fucking song. I've worshipped this guy for so long. He's handsome, charming, funny, and it really doesn't hurt that his parents are the two most influential people in Raleigh. They've already secured Jake a place at Princeton, but surprisingly enough, they're allowing him to go traveling for a year before he starts college. From what Leon told me, they're giving him free rein and access to their Platinum American Express while he's on the road. Dreamily, I'm already imagining all of the amazing, beautiful places we'll visit and see together when he realizes he's madly in love with me and invites me to go along with him. No more running around after Max. No more cleaning and cooking at home. No more rain. Sounds like heaven. Jacob spins a silver Boston shaker in his hand, flaring as he sets up a line of ingredients on the kitchen island. A thick wedge of orange, vodka, Cointreau, Kahlua, cream, crushed ice. He smirks at me, eyes flickering to me every few seconds, as he free pours the liquor into the shaker, adds the ice, the cream, squeezes the orange, then shakes. Sam leans over and whispers something into Jake's ear, and Jake's eyes narrow. He nods his head.
Tell Killian, he says. Upstairs, though, the third floor.
I don't enjoy the way Sam's eyes crawl over me as he hurries out of the kitchen. The guy's such a smarmy prick. What was that about? I ask.
Sam got some Bolivian coke from his brother. It's the purest fucking high known to man. We're keeping it quiet. He doesn't have much left. You party, right?
Yeah, I guess. I think I've had enough for one night, though. I don't want to break my own rule. One line's more than enough for me. The effects of the coke Casey gave me in the bathroom are still going strong. The lights in the kitchen a little too bright, my skin burning, heartbeat a touch too quick. I'm not a heavy user like Case. If I have any more, I'm going to be seriously messed up.
Ah, come on, Silver. Don't you want to have fun with me?
He holds out the martini glass he's just poured the cocktail into. I accept it, dipping my head. Sure, of course. I'm just a lightweight. I don't want to get too fucked up. I have to drive home and—
Okay, all right. Say no more.
Jake flashes me a grin that makes my stomach flip, the way it used to flip when I watched YouTube videos of One Direction when I was 12.
I respect that. You'll still come upstairs and hang while I do a rail, though. And then we can go outside and hang by the pool. I have a lot of questions about you, pretty girl. I can't believe we've been at the same school for so long, and we've barely even said two words to each other. I don't know the first thing about you.
Oh, I know plenty about you, Jacob. I try on a smile that I hope looks shy and pretty, taking a sip from the martini glass. The cocktail's strong, way stronger than I typically like, but it's deliciously sweet and tastes like Christmas. Oh my God, this is amazing. He must be used to people telling him how great he is, but I can see that he's glowing under the compliment I've given him, like my opinion matters to him.
Thanks. I'm glad you like it. Drink up.
There's really not much liquid in the martini glass, and I don't want Jake to think I'm a pussy, so I knock the whole thing back in one, laughing as I try to swallow.
Nice. I like a girl who can handle her liquor. So what do you say, Parisi? You gonna come up and wait for me?
Sure. Let me just tell Halliday where I'm going, and Jake grabs me by the hand, pulling me around the corner of the kitchen island. His hand sits on my hip, and then it's sliding around to the small of my back, rising up my spine. I'm shaking like a leaf as he leans down and presses his mouth to mine. I've daydreamed this moment enough times that I thought I knew what it would feel like to kiss Jacob Weaving. This is a little rougher than I'd pictured, a little more brash and hungry than the slow, intense burn I had in mind. But still, I'm practically crowing with delight as he pushes his tongue past my teeth and plunges it into my mouth. God, is Halliday seeing this? Zen? Ideally, I'd prefer if Casey isn't standing by, observing my first kiss with Jake. There's clearly something weird going on with her tonight, and I don't want the moment ruined by another of her salty barbs. One of the other girls, though. Be good if they could tell me later if I looked calm and confident as I wrap one hand around the back of Jake's neck and I pull him down to kiss me harder. Jake's eyes are half lowered and hungry when he straightens, and a thrill races up my spine. I can't believe that just happened. I can't believe he just fucking kissed me. My lips feel swollen, a little raw from the stubble he's rocking. Jake slowly presses his index finger to my mouth, rubbing it along my bottom lip.
So pretty, Silver. You're so damn pretty. Come on, let's go.
He takes the martini glass and sets it down on the island, leaving it behind as he drags me toward the stairs. He seems filled with urgency, keen to hurry away from the noise and the crowd of the party. Halfway up the stairs, urging me ahead of him, he places his hand on the bare skin of my back, brushing my hair out of the way, and places a kiss on top of my shoulder. I've never been up to the third floor of Leon's house. It's the only area of the sprawling, breathtakingly designed mansion that's out of bounds. I have no idea what to expect as Jake guides me down a long hallway with architectural plans pinned to the walls and strange, small, Japanese-looking knickknacks arranged neatly on the shelves. This is Mr. Wickman's domain. I've never met him, but from what I've heard over the years, Leon's mother's death changed the man, made him a little unhinged. I see no sign of madness here as I walk along the hallways, past meticulously tidy rooms with open doors. The reading nook we pass looks so inviting that I could easily pull a book from the imposing shelves and sit and read for a while, despite the churning pulse at my throat.
There, on the end, see, Jacob whispers against my shoulder. Terry's bathroom's insane. You're gonna freak out when you see it.
I'm feeling a little silly, a little giddy. My brain isn't focusing properly. The world's started to feel a little spongy. Does it have a sunken bath? I've always wanted to try one of those. My voice hardly sounds like my own.
Oh, don't worry, sweetheart. We can try everything. Would you like that?
I nod, and my brain feels like it's bouncing around the inside of my skull. The edges of my vision seem to be softer than it should. Everything's a little muzzy, but I feel good, really good. Jake ushers me into the bathroom, and I falter when I see that Sam and Killian are already there, leaning against a huge slate-gray counter, stocked with fancy-looking bottles of soaps and shampoos, along with a mountain of hand towels, rolled up like you see in hotel spas. They look like little burritos, which for some reason makes me laugh. I still don't like the fact that Killian and Sam are here, though, especially Sam. I thought we were going to be alone, I whisper to Jake. I can't have whispered as quietly as I'd hoped. The other guys must hear me because they share this look. Smiles curling up the corners of their mouths, their eyes narrowed into half crescents, and I try to take a step back toward the door.
Hey, easy. It's okay. We just came up here to have some fun. Right, boys? You want to have some fun with us, don't you, Silver? I thought you liked to party.
Jake's hand on my arm feels comforting. His voice is soothing. But when I look up into his eyes, they look the same as Sam and Killian's eyes. Primed, shining, and excited. A cold jolt fires like a piston up my spine, like cold water, like jumping into the lake in the dead of winter.
Wouldn't it be more fun if Casey and Zen were here? Or Halliday? I can go and get them.
There's only so much coke to go around, Jake says tightly. And besides, we want to get to know you a little better.